Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. I hope everybody's having a great Monday morning. Today's show, it's going to be me. I'm just going to be by myself. We're going to talk about LSU baseball. I want to talk about the Tuesday game this week in Hoover, Alabama for the SEC tournament against Georgia. We'll talk about that. Talk about the LSU baseball players that are in the minor leagues, just to kind of catch up on how they're doing, some of the players that might be called up when the rosters expand or next year. Talk about Southern baseball going to NCAA tournament. Talk about some of these baseball players that have really surprised this year for LSU. Talk about some NBA guys, guys that are from Louisiana and LSU and around the state in the playoffs. Haven't watched as much playoffs, been keeping up with it, though, as far as who's playing and who's not playing for them, LSU, and some of the state colleges. And we're also going to talk about the minimum amount of money that an NFL player makes, just so people know. I looked it up last night, but it's amazing how much money you can make in the NFL if you're not drafted. You're just a free agent. We're going to throw that out later in the show. The minimum amount of money now, and it's going up in 2021, the amount of money that an NFL player makes just as a free agent, meaning you don't even get drafted, right? You just make a team. The minimum amount of money you make a year, we're going to talk about that. But I want to go ahead and introduce our two sponsors for our podcast before we get going in the show, before we talk about LSU baseball and the NBA, Louisiana Natives, and NFL salaries there. So we want to talk about our two sponsors. One sponsor, great John Harvey Toyota. So, hey, guys, just want to take a minute to tell you about Harvey Autos. If you need a new or used car, there's also three great dealers right here worth checking out. John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, and Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Low prices, honest people. And tell them Lee sent you. Great group, Tommy Harvey and his staff. Be sure to check them out, Shreveport or Bossier City. Also, Medin's Collision Center, a great, great company, family-owned by Chris Medin, Dominica Medin, and also Jesse Medin on Kincaid Avenue in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. With all this rain, and I'm sure, you know, unfortunately, people have gotten in wrecks and flooding and everything, but take your vehicle to Medin's Collision Center, where they can help you with everything, with any of your needs for your car, your truck. They've been in business since the 1960s. That's Medin's Collision Center. The number to call is 225-357-7983. I want to go ahead and start in the show about LSU baseball. You know, and I've been watching the baseball team a pretty good bit, especially the first three weeks. Been watching LSU baseball since 1984. Going back to Ben McDonald to now. Honestly, I didn't go back before that. But I think the LSU baseball team is a dangerous team. And I don't want, you know, I want to, you know, pull on the brakes a little bit, but I want to just say that I see some things that if LSU can somehow beat Georgia Tuesday in Hoover, if they can some way beat a good Georgia team on Tuesday, then I think that'll put them in the NCAA tournament. They need that 14th win, right, in the SEC that everybody's been talking about. 13 might get you in. That's what they have. But if they beat Georgia on Tuesday in a single elimination game, if they win that game, by the way, they get into the double elimination. But if they somehow beat Georgia, I think they're in the NCAA tournament for a regional on the road, obviously. Not a home, obviously. We all know that. But this team, I see a lot of young guys that have struggled all year. You know, young guys that are starting to impress me. You can tell they're starting to get comfortable. I'm talking about hitters. I'm talking about pitchers. I'm talking about guys that are playing better in the infield and the outfield. And, you know, nothing's perfect. You're going to see some mistakes still. You know, with baseball teams, you're going to see that. But I see kids starting to get confidence after reps. It's all about repetition. And first of all, I want to say, take my hat off to Gavin Dugas. What an incredible young man from Houma, Louisiana, who has belted 16 home runs and played hurt all week this past weekend, played hurt. Got hurt in the outfield, and it looked like he wasn't going to come back for the last two games, and did, and hit two home runs. He's the kind of Tiger you want on the LSU team. He's a battler. He competes, and I think that's why LSU fans love this program. They have so many guys that love the program, like Gavin Dugas from Houma, Louisiana, who's really hitting the ball really well. And then you look at a guy like, you know, just guys that are coming off the bench like Zach Arnold from California. You know, Zach has struggled in, you know, fielding the ball earlier in the season. He struggled to hit early in the season, but he's also come up big when he plays. And he came up big as a pinch hitter in the Friday game, which enabled LSU to win an extra innings against Texas A&M. You know, Zach Arnold's a good-looking kid, and he's a kid that really came in during the COVID year, where there was a half a season and it was shut down. So he really, it hurt his development, and now he's got that extra, that other half a year this year. And he's really good. I mean, it's coming in a pressure situation like that and bring in some runs to, you know, to get LSU the lead late in the game and extra innings against A&M. That was the season. If they don't win that game, A&M might come back the next day on Saturday and win again. And, you know, they might play with confidence. And then, you know, hey, A&M would be in the SEC tournament, right? And Hoover and not LSU. But I'm really impressed with the pitchers for LSU. And when we come back, I want to talk about the pitchers that are really stepping up, that you got to have strong pitching. And, you know, it looked like LSU was going to be thin again at pitcher. But from the beginning on this show, I always mentioned how many great young arms they have. They just needed some repetition. They need experience. They're just freshmen, a lot of freshmen. We'll be right back, talk more about LSU baseball. Later in the show, talk about the minimum amount of money you make in the NFL, what the salary is going to be in 2021, and also the Louisiana natives that are playing in the NBA playoffs and had a good year this year overall in the NBA. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. We're talking about the LSU baseball team. Tuesday, they'll be playing the eighth seed, Georgia. They're the ninth seed, LSU. I really don't think that matters very much. Georgia will start a freshman pitcher. I want everybody to know they're starting a true freshman pitcher. So, you know, it's not like they're starting a guy that's a junior, senior, has been doing this forever. They can get to this guy early, which would be the key. His name is Luke Wagner. He's 3-3 on the season. So, I mean, this guy's not perfect. Georgia doesn't have a dominant pitcher. You know, they have they're going with this guy that's 3-3 as a freshman. Now, he throws pretty good, but, I mean, 3-3, true freshman. I say LSU's got a great chance to beat Georgia if they can just hit the ball. But let's talk about some of these young pitchers for LSU. Marceau's done a great job as the Friday night starter, moving up the Friday night starter when Jaden Hill got hurt early in the season. But Marceau, man, he's given LSU everything. We all know what he can do. Landon Marceau from Destrehan, Louisiana, who probably won't come back after this year as a junior. I would think he would go in the first three rounds at least in a small draft that's coming up. It's going to be a smaller round draft for the MLB. But I would, you know, with LSU baseball, they needed that third starter, and they needed four or five guys. You need five pitchers to really get out of a regional to get to the Omaha. I'm not saying they're going to Omaha. I'm just saying I'm happy they're able to go to Hoover with the ability to go in the playoffs to the regionals. I'm just happy they're in position to do that. But I think Garrett Edwards, the true freshman, who's going to be phenomenal in the future, 6'5", you know, 210, 205, can throw 93, 94, probably hit 97, 98 next year. He's done a great job over the weekend. He stepped up big time. Ty Floyd, who's out of Rockmart, Georgia, a freshman. He was highly recruited. People thought he would sign an MLB contract at a high school, but because of COVID, the money wasn't there to get him to sign, or it wasn't enough. But Ty Floyd, even though he just throws a fastball, mostly, he's got a heavy fastball. It's hard to get to, and he's starting to get better with a second pitch. But here's a guy throwing 93 to 95 easily, flawlessly. He'll be hitting 100 before he leaves LSU. But what he did Friday night to step in for A.J. Labus, who was off, was phenomenal. I mean, Toff stepped up big time. And the kid's 6'2", 195 pounds. He's a strong kid. I think Ty Floyd's going to be a first-round pick one day. He's going to get his second pitch in. He's going to get that done. He's only a true freshman. But you could tell he finally relaxed. A lot of this is mental in baseball, but he was relaxed and shut these guys down. A&M's got some good hitters. I mean, they've got a good team. Every team in the SEC's got talent. They got pitching. They got hitters. I mean, you know, A&M had a guy with 20 home runs, their first baseman. And they had four pitchers that'll have a chance to make it in the major leagues, even though they don't have a good team overall. This is the same team that beat Ole Miss 2 out of 3. Texas A&M. Ole Miss is one of the top 15 programs in the country. So let's compare it like that. Let's look at that. And then you look at some other pitchers. Michael Fowler, a true freshman from Alabama for LSU, stepped up, I thought, big time on Friday night. And then you look at Javon Coleman from basically Houston, Texas, Richmond, Texas, homeschool kid, who throws flawlessly 93 miles an hour and is going to be a great pitcher for LSU. Again, a true freshman. So between Ty Floyd, Michael Fowler, Javon Coleman, and Garrett Edwards, the future's bright. You just need to have three or four more pitchers step up next year, and you got a deep staff. And then look, A.J. Labus has been great for LSU. He just had an off game. You just have an off game. I mean, even Aaron Nola has some off games for the Philadelphia Phillies, right? I mean, it happens. It happens. Nolan Ryan, didn't dominate in the MLB for, every game. Neither did – you can name any great pitcher in the MLB. You're not going to dominate every week. You're not going to go 20-0. And so I think A.J. Labus will be good for LSU in the regionals. He's a smart kid. He's a good location pitcher, as most fans know this that listen to this program. The junior out of Florida, A.J. Labus, has really helped LSU get in this position. He only had one bad start in the last five. I mean, let's face it, him and Marso, the Friday night starter, have carried this team the last five weekends to be in this position. So I don't write A.J. Labus off. And if anything, the staff's stronger to where Maneri could even make some decisions to put a third starter in, whether it's Garrett Edwards or Ty Floyd, and not just look at them as bullpen guys. I mean, you've got Fontenot, who's looking better lately, who's got a lot of experience. So, if you just keep Fontenot as your closer, maybe Ty Floyd moves up in a starting position if they can get to the regional. If they can get to a regional, then Ty Floyd or Garrett Edwards or Coleman or one of these guys can step up. And Mikel Hilliard. My goodness, as the Sunday starter, the Saturday starter, depending on when the weekend series starts. Some of these series start on Thursdays, Friday, Saturday. Some is Friday, Saturday, Sundays. But Mikel Hilliard is 6-0, and I'm so proud of him as well, what he's done. He has dominated, and he's not a hard thrower, but he's got so many – it's so hard to get to his baseball. I mean, he throws those cutters. And here's a guy that didn't even pitch over the summer. He was in for the Cane Cutter League out of Lafayette. He didn't even pitch, trying to heal up. He hadn't really been himself for a couple of years. I'm so happy for Mikel Hilliard. He's from old high school, Central High School. But Mikel, 6-0, has saved LSU. I was throwing those other guys out because they're the young guys of the future that stepped in on Friday night. for Labus. I mean, Labus was off, and these young guys just came in and helped LSU. And then, obviously, Mikel Hilliard on Saturday just finished the job. Gave LSU their 13th win in SEC play, which was very important. They won the series. I mean, this is four series in a row, I believe, LSU's won in the SEC. It was something they didn't think, a lot of people didn't think they could do it. But I think the LSU, if I'm a coach, if I'm Cal State Fullerton or I'm Tennessee or Ole Miss or I'm, you know, Baylor or whoever, and I'm hosting a regional and LSU's in it, I'm going to be a little worried. I'm going to be a little worried that this team might have more talent than I do, and they're just starting to come around as a team. And by the way, you got Dylan Cruz, and you got Morgan at first base, Trey Morgan, who's a phenomenal battler now at bat. I mean, even when he didn't get on, he fouls off about 10 pitches, and he wears a pitcher out. And then you got to talk about Doty at third base has come up big, besides Dugas. I mean, this team is starting to come around. It doesn't have all the pieces. It never does. No team's perfect. But, again, I think LSU's as good as Ole Miss on paper. I really do. And Ole Miss is in the top 20. Now, are they as good as Mississippi State and Arkansas and Vandy? Probably not. But they are in the middle of this now. If they can beat Georgia on Tuesday, I think they're in the NCAA tournament. They're going to get in a regional if they can beat Georgia. It gives them 14 wins. They're number three in the country as far as their schedule, you know, their toughness of schedule. It's one of the top three in the country, and it's in the SEC, so I think they'll get in. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the basketball players, and then we're going to talk about how much money do you think the minimum wage will be for NFL players in 2021. It's really a good amount to be a free agent. We'll be right back. Looking for a used car? Harvey Autos has three dealerships, which means three times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkine. We're talking. We just got through talking about LSU and their matchup coming up with Georgia. Some of the guys that have stepped up on their staff, pitching staff, and their hitters. Want to go ahead and talk about Southern University really quick. I mean, they're in the NCAA tournament. They won the SWAC League Championship tournament, upset the top team in the SWAC. And kudos, man, to Southern University being back in. And I think it's the first time since Roger Cador led them to the NCAA tournament. It's good to see Southern back in it, man. The more programs, the better in Louisiana. And I know we'll see if Southeastern and all these other schools, whoever else gets in. Obviously, I didn't study all of them. I do know Southern punched their ticket and they're in. And we can talk about some of the other teams that might get in as well. LSU, obviously, if they beat Georgia on Tuesday, they should punch their ticket to a regional, which no one thought they'd go to Hoover a month ago, more or less a regional. So, you know, it's exciting that it's a one game. Maybe they might get in still with 13 wins, but to be safe, they need a win, I think, in Hoover over Georgia. Want to talk about the NFL, which is, you know, the guys get paid very well. And, you know, we've had some guys work for us that played in the NFL. Terrence McGee from Franklinton worked with us while he was in the summer one year when he was playing for the Falcons. He interned with us. Love Terrence McGee, man. What a great guy. Running back from Franklinton, Louisiana. Really didn't leave LSU. Rotated with three other backs his whole time at LSU. Never complained. And played almost 5 years in the NFL. And never got drafted. And I remember talking to Terrence. And I said, man, what do guys make, you know, that don't get drafted? And, you know, back when he worked for us, I think the league minimum was about $500,000. And that was about a little over 5 years ago. So if you didn't get drafted and you just went out for a team, or you were cut and you're trying to make a team and you don't have an original contract, then the league minimum at that time was about 500 or a little under 500. In 2020, the league minimum was $610,000. $610,000 if you're not even drafted. It's pretty good money. In 2021, if you're a free agent, meaning, again, you're not drafted, you're just trying to make a team, the league minimum for a player to play in the NFL will be $660,000. It's almost $700,000. I could handle that. This is not including playoffs or any incentives in your contract, meaning if you're a free agent and your contract says, hey, you make, you know, 40 tackles, you get another whatever. And if you get in the playoffs, you get some more money this way. So you can make over $1 million if your team makes the playoffs and there's any incentives at all, meaning you end up starting, you're on special teams. I remember Terrence telling me if you play special teams, you get paid so much money per play, just playing. That's the union there in the NFL. That's a heck of a setup. So if you're an LSU football player or you play at Southern or McNeese or Florida Gators or wherever, or Mississippi State, and you leave your school and you're a junior and you have a year of eligibility left and people go, man, he made a mistake. And I'm one of those guys sometimes saying that. But if you make a team, you're a free agent, and you go out in camp, whether it's the Saints or the Cowboys or the Eagles or whoever, if you make the team, you're going to make $660,000 minimum, whether you ever play a down or not. That is a heck of a package. And actually, again, it's great for guys who maybe should have stayed in college. But I'm going to tell you what, almost $700,000 to be on a team and maybe not play a down, it's pretty good. I could do that for 2 or 3 years. That'd work for me. Look, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about some LSU baseball players that are in the minor leagues that could, when the rosters expand, they might play this year in MLB. When the rosters expand, you'll see some LSU players be on some teams later in the season or by next year. We'll talk about it when we come back. So, hey, guys, just wanted to take a minute to tell you about Harvey Autos. If you need a new or used car, there's 3 great dealerships right here worth checking out. John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, and Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Low prices, honest people, tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. We're talking about all kind of stuff today. LSU baseball, Southern baseball's in the NCAA tournament. I want to mention this before we get into LSU baseball players in the minor leagues, but a shout out, not that it make a difference that Phil Mickelson would hear me, but he's 50 years old, almost 51, pro golfer who I followed. I'm not a big golf guy, but, and I'm going to admit that if you're golf fans listening. But to win a major golf tournament at the age of 50, the oldest guy to ever win a major, man, I'm 50, so go kudos to Phil Mickelson, man. I mean, nobody thought he would even be in the top 3 in a tournament. And it's good to see that for golf, I mean, because there's so much young talent. I do know that. And I know I have golf friends who are golf fanatics. And I grew up watching Tom Watson and, you know, Jack Nicholson, obviously, and Arnold Palmer. Everybody knew who they were, right? Lee Trevino and some other players, and obviously I follow John Daly. And by the way, he went to Zachary High School, Arkansas native. I don't know if people know that. And then, you know, David Toms, obviously LSU, and I follow some of the LSU guys that are on the tour, and Louisiana guys. But for Mickelson to win a major at 50, and he'll turn 51 pretty soon, is remarkable. And he's had injuries, kind of like Tiger Woods. He's had to come back from knee injuries and back injuries. And it's good to see that because they pay, oh, he's too old. You know, he can be on the senior tour pretty soon. But you know what? Not really. He's really still a great player, and he beat out all those 20-something, 30-something-year-old phenomenal golfers. And kudos to you, Phil. I know you don't need any more money, but the idea of him winning the major was phenomenal, and I like seeing that. Again, I'm 50 years old, so I love seeing a guy my age being able to go out there and dominate and win a major golf tournament over the weekend. And look, and continuing on with our LSU baseball, let's talk about some guys in the minor leagues. Because of COVID in 2020, because the MLB had a half a season, basically, or actually no season, Harley, in 2020, it ruined the development of guys that could be on rosters this year in 2021. And I really believe if there would have been a full season in 2020, that you would have seen Kramer Robertson called up this year for the Cardinals. He's having a great year, by the way, with St. Louis Cardinals, their affiliate in the minor leagues. He's in AAA. I think you'll see Kramer Robertson called up when they expand the rosters this year as an infielder. He's really hitting the ball very well for St. Louis right now. The Waco native, his mom's Kim Mulkey, the new LSU girls basketball coach, which I think was a great hire. Obviously, we all talked about that. But Kramer Robertson will be your next MLB, I think, call-up when the rosters expand. And I also think Cam Sanders, whose dad played in the major leagues from Thibodeau. Cam played at E.D. White High School, LSU. He had a 98-mile-an-hour fastball at LSU. He had some control issues, like a lot of young guys. Now he's gotten it straightened out. He's throwing 100. And Cam will be called up, I believe, when the rosters expand as a closer or middle reliever for the Cubs. Even though he's double-A, I think a lot of double-A guys go straight in and get a shot. Michael Papirski, who's a catcher, remember, from Illinois. He's in AAA with the Astros. I could see him get a shot if there's an injury when the rosters expand, or he might get traded to go to a team where he can get to the majors. Papirski's right on that line of needing to get called up soon. He's been in the minors a little bit over 3 years. Parker Bug, another veteran who's been in the minors for, I think, 6 or 7 years. California native, pitcher, 6'6", from LSU. He's with Miami. Look for him possibly to get called up when the rosters expand. Ryan Eads is with the Houston Astros, AAA affiliate. Ryan Eads has bounced around a little bit, was called up with the Twins 2 years ago, and has a chance to get back in. Hopefully he will. He's a little older. It's harder to get back when you're older. Cole Freeman's doing a great job in AA for the Nationals. Cole Freeman's doing a great job. It's great to hear that, you know, Kramer and Cole were at the same time at LSU in the infield. What an infield, right, at that one time with Kramer Robertson and Cole Freeman. Nick Goody, who was with the, I think he was with the Cleveland Indians. Now he's in the AAA Yankees. And he could get called up when the rosters expand as a pitcher. Nick Goody's a Texas native, played at LSU. Tell you a guy that's doing really good from LSU as a minor leaguer, as a catcher, is Hunter Fiducia from Barb High School. Hunter was a solid player at LSU, really came from a junior college, I think LSU Eunice. And he's really a big guy. He's gotten strong, and he's with the Dodgers, AA affiliate. Hunter's got a chance to maybe get called up maybe next year. I don't think this year, but maybe next year. Antone Duplantis, obviously, from Lafayette. I think the COVID year hurt him to get – I think he's still in only single-A with the Mets. Same thing with some other guys like Josh Smith. You know, he's still in the single-A with the Yankees. If it wouldn't have been for COVID, he might be double-A right now. And then you got Daniel Cabrera, you know, recently drafted this past year. He's got a chance maybe in another year to get in the majors, but he's with Detroit in single A. Obviously, he's got to get the double A or triple A to get called up. And then you've got Greg Dykeman. Greg Dykeman is doing really good. He's in triple A with the Oakland A's, and I think he would be on a roster right now if it wasn't for COVID last year. Again, it hurt his development to not have that full season last year, but Greg Dykeman is in AAA, and you know, I'm really excited to know that maybe when the rosters expand, he might get called up by the Oakland A's at some point this year as an outfielder, possibly this year. And there's some other guys that are in the minor leagues. Jake Slaughter, you know, from Wichita Christian, played at LSU. He's in double A with the Cubs, so he's actually gotten out of single A. He's a big kid. Jake's got a lot of ability, you know. And I'm just talking about the guys in the minor leagues, not the major leagues. There's some guys from LSU in the major leagues. We can talk a whole day on that another time. But when we come back, I want to talk about the NBA natives from Louisiana. Players from Louisiana, that's really what I follow in the NBA. I'm going to be honest with you. I follow the guys from Louisiana and keep up with them, or people that are from that played in Louisiana but not from Louisiana, same thing. We'll talk about those guys when we come back. I'm going to take a quick break.
Parents, are you looking for advice on getting your high school athlete recruited by the right college? Lee Brekeen is your answer. Lee has been doing it for over 30 years. He knows the ropes, and more importantly, he knows the people. Lee offers turnkey service from evaluation, creating highlight tapes in the correct format, and complete guidelines for effective communication with the schools. No matter the sport, girl or boy, no matter what grade your child is in, let Lee Brekeen help match your child to the right college fit. Go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com, and get connected today.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen, and we're going to talk in this segment about, you know, Louisiana natives or players that played in Louisiana that are not from Louisiana but played for a college in Louisiana. And there's a lot of guys in the NBA. And, you know, you always hear, oh, Louisiana doesn't have enough basketball talent. Nah, I don't believe that. I mean, numbers speak for itself. I mean, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 that I can think of off the top of my head that either played college ball in Louisiana or from Louisiana. 9 players. That's a lot. Louisiana's not California, Florida, or Texas when it comes to basketball. But Langston Galloway is with Phoenix there in the playoffs. Langston Galloway is from Baton Rouge. Langston went to St. Joseph's College in Pennsylvania. Langston Galloway was drafted, you know, very high. He's still doing it, man. He's a good kid. He's with Phoenix. If you're watching a playoff game, he's with the Phoenix Suns. Langston Galloway prepped locally at, it's no longer around. It was Christian Life, then Church Academy, but they're no longer a school, but that's where he played. And then you have Skylar Mays from Baton Rouge. He's with Atlanta. He didn't play in the first playoff game I saw. So Skylar Mays did have some good games this year, but he's on a deep team. He's only a rookie, but, man, what a – gets to play in the playoffs, make more money and with the Atlanta team. And then you look at Robert Williams from the Boston Celtics. Robert Williams from North Caddo High School around Shreveport, played at Texas A&M. That's one that got away from Will Wade. You know, Robert's 6'8", 240 pounds, chiseled muscle. And by the way, he broke a record the other night. Robert Williams did for the Celtics with the most blocked shots in a playoff game. I never knew this, but 8 blocks. It was previously held by Kevin McHale and one other guy. They had 7. But I thought easily Robert Parrish or, you know, Bill Russell would have this. But no, the record is by Robert Williams from North Caddo High School, 8 blocks in a game for the Boston Celtics. And he comes off the really off the bench a lot, which is impressive. It's his second year in the NBA. He's really doing a great job. I thought he was a beast at Texas A&M. And then you've got Paul Millsap. Can you believe Paul Millsap's still in the NBA? He's 36 years old, played at Louisiana Tech, and he's with the Denver Nuggets, who's in the playoffs. Paul Millsap still doing it at 36, still averaging 9 points a game. 6'7", 250 pounds, just so versatile, so committed. It's like it kind of feels like Paul Millsap's 50 years old, like he's my age, and he's not 36. I mean, seems like he's been playing in the NBA for like 40 years. And then you look at Ben Simmons, who's with the Philadelphia 76ers. They're in the playoffs. He's a point forward, as we call it, point guard, 6'10", 7'1" in length. He's doing okay in the playoffs, not tearing it up, but he's got a couple of stars on his team. Tremont Waters with Boston Celtics from LSU. He's not a native of Louisiana. He's from Connecticut, but Stewie played at LSU. He's getting some PT in some games. Didn't play in the first game of the playoffs. Has had his moments when he has played, like Schuyler Mays. Naj Reid, Minnesota did not make the playoffs, but he had a great year, averaged over 10 points a game for the Timberwolves. Not a Louisiana native, but played at LSU from the state of New Jersey, I believe. Yeah, it's from Roswell, New Jersey High School. Naj Reid, 6'10", likes to shoot the three. And then you look at Garrett Temple with the Chicago Bulls, 35 years old, man. I had to look at it, but I looked him up, but I didn't realize Garrett was 35. I mean, he's a young 35. Collis Temple's son, Collis Temple III, also played at LSU, his brother. But Garrett Temple, I mean, I think he's still play another 2 or 3 years. He's 35 years old. He looks good. He's in great shape. A lot of people forgot where he's at because he's been on a lot of different teams. But he's with the Chicago Bulls. And then DJ Augustine, here's a guy that people might not realize. He played college ball at Texas. He finished high school in Texas because of Hurricane Katrina, because they had to move to Texas, okay? And then DJ Augustine was going to Brother Martin High School all through high school up until his senior year before Hurricane Katrina. People might not know that. Some people do. But DJ Augustine's still in the NBA. He's 33 years old. And he's with the Houston Rockets. What a great place to be when he finished high school in Houston and played for the University of Texas in Austin. But he's a Louisiana native. Played at Brother Martin, helped Brother Martin to a state championship, if you remember way back, with a guy by the name of Adam Krause, who played offensive line at Michigan and was an All-American at Michigan that got away from LSU. Congratulations to the LSU softball team hosting a super regional, beating the ULL Raging Cajuns. It gave them a great game, forced them into a final game, a take-all game over the weekend. And LSU is going to be hosting Florida State. Coach Beth, this is her chance to maybe finally get to the World Series of girls baseball there. I think they got a good team. I don't know as much about them as some of the experts that we could bring on, and hopefully maybe we can get her on at some point. Beth, if you hear of this show or somebody talks to Beth Torino, we'd love to get Beth on to talk about her softball program beating a very good ULL Raging Cajun team over the weekend. But I'm so happy for them that they're hosting a super regional with the opportunity to go to the big dance. But, you know, what a great weekend. There's a lot of stuff going on. And if the show comes out later on today, I'm actually taping this show at 7 o'clock in the morning on Monday, just so you know. But I think TJ Finley is going to go to Auburn from Ponchatoula, from LSU. I've been hearing that for a long time, but I really believe unless there's a change of heart, he'll be an Auburn Tiger. Now, this might come out after it's announced today, but the show is taped at 7 in the morning on Monday. But hope you enjoyed the show. Talked about a lot of different stuff, and I really wish everybody a great Monday. Look, I want to mention something else, and I was looking at this the other day. Talking about Stingley with LSU football team, who's a great player, one of my favorite players at LSU. I think Stingley, as a cornerback, will go down as one of the greatest to ever play at LSU. But here's an interesting stat about Derek Stingley. He's the first LSU All-American defensive back from 220 to not ever have an interception in a season. Just an interesting stat to think about. He didn't have one interception in 2020. I know it was COVID. He missed a lot of games. But I haven't seen an LSU DB make All-American and never have an interception in that season, which tells you how great he is and how well-respected he is by the league and all the other coaches to vote him as an All-American 2 years in a row with no interceptions on the season. And I'm sure the kid wants to get some interceptions because that probably is not something he wants to talk about, but no interceptions in 2020 on the season and made All-American, which is not something very common that you see. But again, great respect for him as a player and probably the only guy that could make All-American with no interceptions on a season would be Stingley at LSU. Look, make sure to go to our website and pre-order the 2021 Preview Magazine. Again, pre-order, they're not ready right now, but they'll be ready to get in late August, early September. We'll be mailing them out. The Louisiana Football Magazine, we're working on it right now, 300 high schools, 12 colleges, recruiting. We'll have a story in there. It's our 25th year. But pre-order the magazine, go to LAFootballMagazine.com. That's LAFootballMagazine.com. If you're a parent listening to the show, we're probably going to have your son in the magazine if he's a starter for a high school. And if the coach gave me the name or I know the name from scouting, then we'll have thousands of kids in the Preview Magazine. Be sure not to miss that issue, which will come out late August, early September. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.